Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:13 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 18th, and obviously we've had the Chinese Party or the Communist Party Congress in China over the last couple of days. There's been a massive lockdown in terms of security, but perhaps the most important thing that has come out of this entire event so far, at least, has been that 3.5 hour lecture given by Xi Jinping, where he made quite clear what his ambitions are, and it remains an uncertainty whether he is willing to step down at the end of the next 5-year term. We're going to find that out in the next few days when they tell us who is on the standing committee and in the Politburo. But perhaps more important than that is that one of the most notable trends prior to the Congress was the strength of the renminbi, where it went from just under 7 to just down to just about 6.4, and that's a big move. But leading up to just the immediate month before the Congress, the renminbi has been weakening, and it has weakened the last couple of days. It's still unwinding this overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and the dollar has been stronger against the renminbi over the last couple of days. Now, when we look at this medium-term chart, we can see quite clearly that the 3-year progression of higher reaction lows has been broken, and that this is a massive reaction against that trend. Generally speaking, after that kind of move, you get a reversion and you get some, usually some pretty prolonged ranging. So I think what we can anticipate from the renminbi is some additional weakness, but then that 7 area is likely to represent an area of support or resistance for the dollar over the medium term. When we look at the H-share index in Hong Kong, then it has been trending higher in a pretty consistent manner, and it's at a new recovery high. It's a little bit overbought in the very short term, but as long as that progression of higher reaction lows remains intact, I think there isn't anyone going to be particularly worried about it, considering that it has been so steady on the upside within the context of what is a really quite lengthy medium-term range. The banking sector, on the other hand, is responding to the cut to interest to reserve requirements announced last week, and it has first step above the base characteristics when we look at this range that has persisted since that pop on the upside back in 2015. But nobody is really talking about the banks at the present moment. What they are much more concerned with is the technology sector, and this is the Global X Nasdaq China Technology ETF, and yes, it is certainly overbought in the short term, but it has just taken out the 2015 high, and this is where the growth is occurring in the Chinese economy. That was the clear takeaway from my visit there back in July, that we've had a massive transformation in terms of the digital economy, and that also is reflective of the priorities that have been really highlighted within that speech yesterday, that they're not going for all-out growth any longer, but rather they're looking for quality in terms of the growth. They want to increase the value added in terms of the economy, and an easy way to do that is it by boosting the services sector, but also to boost the consumer base, and that is the, I think their answer has been to boost the technology sector. And of course, by demanding absolute loyalty from those technology companies, it also gives the administration an additional organ through which to extend its control over the population. So that is also part of the reason why they are helping to really push the advances in technology. And really, a clear downward dynamic would be required to check momentum in this particular ETF. But considering that China's growth is moderating from double digits or pretty close to double digits in the last decade, it's probably worth starting to look at other countries that do have outsized growth potential. India is certainly among those, and it moved to a new recovery high, a new all-time high in here today. And it spent much of the last 3 or 4 months ranging around this 10,000 level, and it is pulling away from it once more. The Filipino market is also among those that is outstripping many of its neighbors in terms of its economic growth. And it was a little bit weaker in here today, but was able to rally off its high, excuse me, off its lows. And it's perhaps due some consolidation, considering that it did rather well in the period from the beginning of September. As long as it is holding that 8,000 level, I think the majority of people will not be particularly worried about it. And Thailand has also broken higher. It was also a little bit weaker in here today. It is a little bit overbought in the short term. So I think when we look at some of these emerging markets, there is the potential for some consolidation, considering that they have done so very well in the last few months. But the bigger point is that they do represent these outsized growth potentials, that they have the favorable demographics. Many of them are commodity producers in an environment where commodity prices are recovering. And that what we can see, and by and large, is that governance is trending in a positive direction. So that is also in their favor over the medium term. And when we look at some of those commodity producing indices like Brazil, then it has broken higher to new all-time highs. And of course, the currency is not quite where it was back in 2008, but the fact that the domestic market is at a new all-time high is certainly worthy of consideration. That's also the case for the South African market. Now, we can also say, for example, that some of the Latin American markets have been lagging, but the uptick in interest for copper is certainly benefiting the likes of Chile, whereas when we look at the Colombian market, and this isn't something that we look at particularly often, then it still has got some work to do. But nonetheless, this remains a recovery scenario in terms of commodity prices, and that is all the more important for a country like Australia, which has broken up out of what has been a 6-month range this week, and it continues to hold that advance. We could see very clearly on the weekly chart that it has been ranging below 6,000 for 3 years, and this looks like a bullish consolidation in the region of those recovery peaks. And if we take a step back and look at that much longer term chart, well, then this is not all that far away from the all-time peak back in 2007. And the more likely scenario is that with global indices breaking out, that Australia is a bit of an outlier, and that it has potential for additional upside here if commodity prices continue on their recovery. And when we look at, for example, the New Zealand market, then it has been doing spectacularly well for the last 5 years, and it remains in a reasonably consistent medium-term uptrend. We can also see that it, on occasion, does pull back to the region of the mean, and it does that when it has become overextended. And it has become overextended, so the potential for some consolidation is increasing. But it also highlights just how much of an outlier Australia is. And it has been held back by the financials index, which represents a really quite considerable weighting that the financials have certainly steadied up over the last month or so, but they do need to do better if they're going to act as a tailwind rather than a headwind for the wider market. Whereas when we look at the materials sector, then that gives us, I think, a better indication of what is helping to really drive the performance here, with the materials index breaking up to new recovery highs and challenging that high we saw back in early 2014. But again, this looks like a V bottom, and that there is, I think, ample potential for additional upside here. Copper prices have been really quite firm over that much of the last week, and have been a little softer over the last couple of days, but they have still held more than the advance that we saw on Monday. It is a bit overbought in the short term, so we could have a little bit of consolidation, but by and large, this continues to look like a benign environment for the industrial metals. And what we're seeing increasingly is interest in lithium, in copper, in nickel, in cobalt, and all of those are industrial metals that are heavily influenced by the growth of the electric vehicle market. So this is still a nascent industry, but it is growing at a doubling almost every 2 years. So it doesn't take very long then for something that's doubling every 2 years to really start to gain market share in not that long a time, within the decade. So that is going to represent a demand driver for these particular metals. Of course, this week has also been the anniversary of the 30th anniversary of the 1987 crash. So we have seen an increasingly large number of comparisons with between today and then, and the S&P 500 is a little bit overbought in the short term. So we do have potential for some pause and consolidation. That is certainly not beyond the bounds of possibility, but there isn't a great deal of evidence just yet to suggest that it is underway. And the Nasdaq index was a little bit softer in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. And it continues to hold this move above the 6,000 area. What I think is perhaps more relevant is the fact that both Amazon and Google spent much of the last few months ranging below $1,000 and are now trading above it. And if they can continue to extend that advance, then the likelihood is that the Nasdaq will be in relatively positive territory. When we look at Europe, there is a great deal of media commentary about what's happening with Brexit, but the more important scenario is what's happening in terms of monetary policy. And the fact that the ECB is only beginning to talk about tapering and isn't in fact engaged in tapering remains a tailwind for the stock market, and we can see that the Euro stocks has been ranging in the region of those 2015 and early 2017 highs for the last couple of days. But rather, other than some short-term consolidation, the most likely scenario is that it is going to break higher and over the course of the next year push back up towards the upper side of what has been already a very lengthy range starting back in 2000. When we include the UK and the non-Eurozone countries and look at the Europe stocks, then it is pushing back up towards this 400 area. And considering that markets like the FTSE 100 have already broken higher, then the likelihood is that 400 is unlikely to represent more than short-term resistance in the context of a recovery scenario. When we take a quick look at some of these currencies, then the euro was a little bit firmer in here today. It is rallying from the lower side of its range, but I suspect that 120 is going to represent an area of resistance for a little while longer. The more important point is that as long as it is holding the break up out of this medium-term range, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to medium-term upside. And it is by just by going sideways, it is unwinding its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. And the extent to which the dollar can rally is an important consideration, that the dollar has not yet posted a failed downside break. It has merely come back up to test the lower side of this overhead trading range, and it is also unwinding its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. But it has really quite a lot of work to do to demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond that short-term steadying. Now, gold prices were additionally weak in here today, but not in a particularly dynamic fashion. The most important point is that a question I think is whether the low from 3 weeks ago is going to hold, and whether that, more importantly, that $1,250 area holds. This represents the region of the trend mean. But this has been a range for much of the last 18 months, and a trend mean is most important in a trending environment. And I think it would be a stretch to say that gold is trending. Certainly we have had some pretty abrupt short-term moves both up and down, and that the bias of trading has been upwards this year, but it hasn't been in a particularly consistent fashion. So it might be a stretch to think that the trend mean is going to offer more than temporary support, and it really will need to demonstrate support in this area if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to a rebound. And if that is the case for gold, then silver was pretty much unchanged in here today, and it does have high beta characteristics. So what happens with gold is likely to be mirrored in silver. And again, here you can see that the trend mean has been pretty much flat, whereas trading has been quite volatile around it for much of the last 18 months. So it's unlikely that the trend mean is going to mean an awful lot in terms of how people trade the commodity. Platinum prices are now substantially below where palladium prices are. And we are now back in the region of the lower side of the range. This has offered support on multiple occasions over this year, but the $900 area will need to continue to hold if potential for a bounce is to continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. Whereas palladium prices are right back testing at that $1,000 area and consolidating, but the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact, and as long as that is the case, and we can see very clearly on the weekly chart that there is additional potential for some closing of that overextension, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And bonds today were a little bit weaker, and the 10-year yield is currently at 2.34. So far, this has been quite a different process of consolidation relative to the rather sharp pullbacks that we had in July and in May from that 2.4% level. And it would suggest that this is a consolidation rather than a reversal. But if we can see yields pushing and sustaining a move above 2.4%, then that will begin to suggest that we're back in a supply-dominated environment beyond the short term. And if they move above 2.5%, well, then we'll have yields at highs that we haven't seen in a number of years. And of course, the quantity of debt has increased substantially over the last 5 years. What I find quite interesting is that some people are saying, well, the bond market bottomed in, or excuse me, the yields bottomed and the bond market topped out in 2016. But that's only within the context of a base formation that has been underway since 2012. So the market has already been going sideways for 5 years. And something that we see regularly in type 3 bottoms, which are characterized by ranging time and size, is failed breaks. And failed breaks can happen both on the upside and the downside, and that's what we had in 2016. And the yield went straight back up towards the upper side of the range. So then the question is whether when if yields can break to new recovery highs and highs not seen since 2014, whether they will be sustained. A number of commentators have made the point that we are in a period of great policy uncertainty. That is the case, certainly, because we don't know yet the extent to which the Federal Reserve will be able to shrink their balance sheet and what the response of other central banks will be. There is the potential that the ECB will be forced to ramp up its program, or the Bank of Japan or the Bank of China will ramp up their respective programs to take up the slack in terms of what has been taken out of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet. And there is the possibility that they will not ramp up their programs, and then that would represent a loss of liquidity for the market. And considering that this has been a liquidity-fueled bull market, then that is something that we need to be alert to. But against that background, unemployment rates are still low. We have not seen unemployment starting to move higher. We have not seen high yield spreads starting to move higher, and the yield curve remains positive. So there are lots of people worried, and I think jumping at shadows at the present moment because we are close to the 30th anniversary of the 1987 crash. But we do not have evidence that a recession is imminent, and all the worst that we can say is that we have short-term overbought conditions, so there is the potential for some consolidation. And I want to close by just highlighting some of the action that has occurred on Bitcoin in here today. What we have seen over the course of this bull market in Bitcoin this year has been a progression of higher reaction lows in a staircase step sequence uptrend with ranges one above another. And that would suggest that the region of 5,000 should hold. If it doesn't, or if it only dips below it briefly, then we could probably conclude that it's still a reasonably consistent trend. But if it fails to sustain the move above 5,000, that would represent a significant inconsistency, and then it would really start to ask questions about the integrity of the advance, such as it has been. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.